calculating the price of collaboration. As most companies and corporations start pushing everybody slowly back to the office full time, denials from the powers that this is not the case are not fooling anyone. It turns out that there are a couple of hidden and not so hidden costs to this. And moreover, they only affect those that are good at remote working. 1. If you are an efficient remote worker, you plan your days out and tend to actually commit the same amount of hours to your day working from home as you would for a full office trip. To explain that better, once I have my shirt and tie on, I am in work mode. If I'm in my home office, that means I can use that time for calls, emails, or genuine work. From my client office, however, that means I waste the first and last 30 to 90 minutes of that day traveling. With a bit of emailing done on my mobile. On a number of international projects I've been a member of, it has reached the level requiring HR involvement for permanent members of staff. As meetings that have been going on successfully for years at the very beginning and end of the day due to time zones suddenly have terrible attendance because people are travelling during those times. 2. A far more insidious impact, and one that both helps and harms the delivery of work for corporations but requires a long-term view, is the time taken to actually socially collaborate with your fellow office drones. If I go into an office with a clear list of things I'm going to do and how long I will take to do them, I will have to add about 2 hours to that estimated time because I'm sharing a workplace with fellow humans, not just loud motivational music. And if you only think like that, for a full week in the office, I would lose 10 hours worth of delivery just being a paid-up member of the human race, ignoring the lost hours due to travelling from point one. But then it starts to get complicated. Sometimes a quick face-to-face conversation solves hours of meetings and emails. An overheard chat 2 desks down stops you making a costly blunder or makes you aware of something. All this variance means that there is no clear absolute winner for the move back to the office and no one size fits all. But the points I take away having to manage it for both clients and team members are: full-time in the office hurts the productivity of efficient or hard-working people. Give the people that plan their days out at least one day a week to get their head down and clear backlogs. Measuring improvement based on being back in the office is a long-term game. As in the short term, there is often a drop on what people actually get done. Much as it is irritating to some team members, if you have made them come in, then make them sit together as if they all go and hide in little booths and corners. You have just made the whole thing pointless. If they state they need that space, then let them work from home and move to a more delivery-focused measurement of work to try and evaluate that. Realize that people are different, and just because you as a manager like everyone sitting around you does not mean that others do and are more productive that way. You are not helping yourself by pulling such people